When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Coming up, we're going to go behind enemy lines with Chris Russell. He's from the Team 980 in Washington as we try to figure out what's going to go down on Sunday night. I can't wait for this game. Commanders and Falcons, Penix and Daniels, the two quarterbacks that were taken high in the first round, obviously. And Jaden Daniels has played great for the Washington Commanders this year. We're going to talk plenty more about that. We got to talk some college football, though, right now with our buddy Bill Bender as we hit the dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Let's go around college football. We spent a lot of time today talking about Gunnar Stockton and what's going on with Carson Beck. And Bill Bender, Sporting News senior writer, I want to ask you first about Ryan Day, because there's been so much conversation about, you know, if he had lost that game and would they have let him go, and everybody points to the record. He's beaten everybody except Michigan. Ryan Day's a really good coach. Do you think that this is overplayed and that people are taking this way too far with Ryan Day's record against Michigan specifically and what he's done against everybody else in the Big Ten?
It's such a tough question when you live in the Central Ohio bubble. Because I was writing this before the game, and I'm being 1,000% serious when I say if you ask 10 Ohio State fans, would they rather win the national championship or beat Michigan? At least five will say beat Michigan. Mm. At least five. And this is why the 12-team playoff is such an interesting test for that, because Ohio State is fully capable of winning the national title. When they play like they did in the first quarter Saturday night, they can beat anybody. And, you know, for Ryan Day, the beat Michigan thing is real. But I think, I'm going to be honest, I think Russ Bjork has a point. Like, we live in a – it's NFL-like now. You know, like, for the Falcons, you can lose to the Saints and win the Super Bowl, and you forget about that regular season loss to the Saints, right? And I think college football's headed that way a little bit.
When it comes to this 12-team playoff, Bill, I really think that the first round showcase was something that we could look at as a test case to say what might work and what might not work. What were your primary takeaways from the format, and do you think things like reseeding and reshuffling the deck should be considered as early as next year?
Yeah, I mean, what works on campus works. Those environments were awesome. You know, I was in one where 30% of the stadium was orange, and it was still, that made it better, honestly, because I think that jacked up the Ohio State fans even more. They need to reseed it. There's no question, because the 8-9 game should have been Boise State, Indiana. I don't like that Oregon's reward for a 13-0 season is Ohio State, right?
Right.
So we've got to seed it properly. And, you know, the two best games, I think the four teams, I'll put it to you this way. The four teams, in my opinion, most likely to win the national championship are playing each other in the second round. You know, I think Georgia and Notre Dame, that's another one. That shouldn't be a quarterfinal matchup, in my opinion. Maybe some of that's unavoidable. But, yeah, other than that, we can complain about blowouts all we want, but did you not? We kind of all see them coming. Vegas saw them coming. Every spread was 7 points or more.
Yeah, it's valid. And we've talked about the number of blowouts, whether you go back to the BCS era or even the 14 playoff. It happens, and I think it's just a part of college football. We all kind of overreact when it gets to teams that you feel like individually or personally that didn't belong. We're talking with Bill Bender, guy, Sporting News senior writer. So real quick, the last time Ohio State and Oregon played, I'm just taking people back. Final score was 32-31. It was a great game, overtime, and you saw Will Howard throw for 326 and Dylan Gabriel throw for 341. Are we going to have a similar kind of game in this semifinal or this quarterfinal round that we're going to see coming up next week?
I mean, it's on Ohio State to adjust. I think Oregon was the only team this season that showed that they could throw the ball down the field on them. I can't think of another team that really did. And for Ohio State, it's trusting Will Howard to throw the ball down the field. Jeremiah Smith's pretty good. We saw that on Saturday. Didn't see it in the second half of the Michigan game, but saw it on Saturday. And I anticipate that game is going to be a shootout, a lot of fun. And we're going to find out what the advantage is for Oregon having that rest, because I do think being on the West Coast in the Rose Bowl, less travel, all those things will help them. But I, as a guy, again, I grew up with the Big Ten, and you tell me 10 years ago, hey, Billy, Oregon and Ohio State are going to play Big Ten and on Big Ten in the Rose Bowl in 2024-25, and it's going to be in a 12-team playoff. I would have said, I don't know who you are, but you need to put that bottle down.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't think anybody predicted that we would be here, especially with them being in the Big Ten conference. Let me ask you, Bill, about why you think people disrespect Boise. I think there are a lot of people around the country just seeing Penn State versus Boise, and they're going, oh, Penn State. And I don't think that Boise is getting the respect they deserve, and maybe they don't know about Ginty. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's really talented, and he's not just really talented. When you challenge Barry Sanders' records, I showed my son Barry Sanders' game log from 1988.
Crazy.
Just to, like, drive that point home.
Ugh.
This is who he's challenging, okay? And these are the records that he's putting up, and he's doing it against 8 and 9 man fronts. I think the challenge for Boise is this Penn State defense is pretty darn good, especially up front with Abdul Carter. They're both of those teams are really good at stopping the run. So I do think there's going to be a little bit more pressure on Maddox Mattson to make some plays and a little more pressure on Drew Aller to make some plays. And a fun stat for the Fiesta Bowl would be Boise State's 3-0. All I have to say is Boise State Fiesta Bowl, everybody says, what? Statue of Liberty.
Right.
Penn State's 7-0 in the Fiesta Bowl. When you say Penn State Fiesta Bowl, you think about the fatigues game with Miami in the 1980s for some of us older guys. So I love that stage. I think it's the perfect New Year's Eve game.
Wow, you brought that back. I forgot about the fatigues game. That's on the documentary. You're right. We are talking with Bill Bender here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bill, can Arizona State get Scadabo in the running game going against the front for Texas?
That will be the key. If they can't, they're going to get blown out, because Texas's defense is active. They had 7 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 9 pass breakups in that first-round game, of a competitive first-round game with Clemson, and they ran all over the Tigers. That was good news for Quinn Ewers. I mean, we talk so much about Quinn Ewers at Texas and Arch Manning that we forget the rest of the team's really good. And I think that's going to be an uphill battle for Arizona State. They are solid. They were playing as well as anybody at the end of the year. But in order for Scadabo to do that, Sam Levitt, who had, I think, 3 or more touchdowns in 5 of their last 6 games, he's going to have a really good game against a awesome Texas secondary. So, I mean, the long haul, we talked so much about Penn State's path being wide open. Well, Texas's is pretty wide open, too, and I think that's why they're the betting favorite to win it all right now.
All right. Give me your thoughts on Georgia with the quarterback situation. We know Carson Beck had the surgery. Gunnar Stockton's going to be the guy. But how do you feel about this team and what you saw in the SEC championship game? Because we just got a sample, right? It was basically, you know, a half or so with Gunnar Stockton. I thought he stepped in and did a really good job, and ultimately they won the game. But how do things change in your mind for Georgia?
I mean, the offense was functional. It's not – that's my thing, is they won the game. He made one mistake, that one throw you're going to want back in a critical spot. If you take that away, the running game was going with ETN. The interior line looked really good. And they're going to take high percentage throws. I would anticipate that the tight ends are really involved, and they're good tight ends, Oscar Delp and often lucky. And Brock, by the way, Brock Bowers is about to win me a fantasy football championship. So we will always love Brock Bowers if he can get it done for me next week. But George is really, I mean, I think if he just doesn't turn the ball over, plays within himself, and has the support of the running game, that Notre Dame loss of Riley Mills is huge. I mean, he was a game wrecker in the middle for them. They do have Howard Cross back, but that's a big loss for the Irish.
Speaking of the quarterback play, on the flip side, do you anticipate that Riley Leonard can lead them to a shootout type of victory? Because I don't know, Bill, if I've seen enough of that, and I think Georgia may have the edge there. He was nothing short of a game manager in the last game. He did enough, but I have not been overly impressed this season like I thought I was going to be.
You got to get him in third and long. I anticipate their game plan will be similar to Georgia Tech's. They have three running backs that average 6 yards per carry. And Riley Leonard is active in the running game. So I think if you can get them in third and long, force him to make some throws. I mean, the Notre Dame question always revolves around guys on the perimeter, right? Can they make plays against SEC teams? And Jordan Faison had a nice bowl game, but that will be the key. So it is a challenge, though, against this running game. Jeremiah Love, very good. Jadarian Price, very good. And then they got Aeneas Williams involved there, too. So it'll be about how does Georgia stop that running game. And I'm looking at that game thinking, I mean, like the last two they played, this feels like a 21-17 game to me.
All right, let's talk a little bit about just the state of college football. Every coach that I know, and I'm sure everyone you talk to leading into the championship week, was frustrated and disgusted with the idea they had to deal with the portal. So the timing of when this thing opens and closes, they're going to change that, right, Bill? I mean, that's been a big point of contention for a lot of coaches, saying dealing with this and then also getting ready for championship games, I'm not going to say it's unfair. You just got to deal with it. But that part of it sounds like it's broken when you talk about this portal situation.
Yeah, I go back to the championship game a couple years ago. Kirby Smart, Sonny Dykes on the podium, and Sonny Dykes is talking about, hey, I'm getting ready for Georgia, and I've got, and at the time, obviously really hard game, and he had guys on campus trying to transfer.
Yep.
So we desperately need to fix the calendar, and I have a couple suggestions. Move the season up. Take off a regular season game. Let's play 11. We can do away with the conference championship games if you want, and then let's start the playoff right away. That was one thing that struck me about last week is Ohio State and Tennessee played 3 weeks after their last regular season game, and I'm thinking, can you imagine if I'm a Green Bay fan. If I had to wait 3 weeks from week 18 to a wild card game,
it's a long
time. I don't
think
I could handle that. Yeah. I don't know if the teams could handle that. So we definitely need to move things up so situations that happen, like what happened with Bo Pribula at Penn State last week, don't happen. I think that's an easy fix.
When you say move it up, though, when are we? So if we did that, 1st of December, we're starting the playoff?
I would.
Okay.
I would go right away. I would play the first three rounds, December 1st, December, three weekends. Then, you know what? We could take 2 weeks, and we could finish this thing on January 1st.
Yeah.
And I've thought this all along. I'm an NFL guy, too. I don't like the thought of going head-to-head against the NFL into deep January because I think it's a losing battle. The interest – and it doesn't have to be because – you know, yeah, we're super interested in the NFL when it gets to the divisional round. Let's let college have its spotlight. We do have – the quarterfinals are on unopposed with the NFL on New Year's Eve and January 1st, and I'm almost guaranteeing outside of – those will do better than anything else college football has for the rest of the season.
I agree. Bill Bender, great job, man. We appreciate you stopping by. Happy holidays to you and your family, and look forward to seeing what happens in these playoffs. Thank you so much.
Hey, happy holidays. Happy holidays. I got it right. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks so much for having me on.
No doubt. You too. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, Caleb Johnson's going to join us. Hawks with a big win last night.
That idea, by the way.
I do too. You got to get everybody on board. I think the coaches, by the way, I think most of these coaches would be all for it. They just don't like the idea of trying to retain your own guys and get ready for a championship caliber game. That's just, it's not right. But Caleb's going to stop by, man. Hawks reporter for 92.9 The Game next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
During Will You Marry Me Day at Chops.
Chris is in for Mike today, hanging out with me on Christmas Eve. Thank you guys for being here. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Falcons at 5 o'clock. We'll get into some guy talk as well here in about 15 minutes. Hey, if I asked you Zion Williams right now, Zion Williamson, is he a bust? He's had a hamstring. He's eyeing returning to practice next week. If I asked you, like, all right, signature moments, what's Zion done since he got into the NBA? You want to say it with me? Nothing!
Except he's put on weight.
He's done nothing, guys. Seriously. We complain, not me, you complain about Trae Young and what he hasn't done. Like, this guy's done nothing. I can't tell you what I remember about Zion. Has he made a playoff run? Has he done anything in the playoffs? He's been more hurt than anything. And I just saw this and was like, he's eyeing a return. I'm like, every time I look up, this dude is injured. Anyways, Hawks win last night. We got to talk to our guy, Caleb Johnson. Hawks reporter, 92.9 The Game. Caleb, last night was interesting because everybody said Ant-Man's back. They got a lot of size with Minnesota, with Rudy Gobert. And you just saw the Hawks bear down and just outplay the T-Wolves. And I've been saying, like, this team's going to be dangerous. Do you feel that way as we continue to move through the season if they stay healthy and are able to play like this?
See, Carl, you said the word right there that I know I've talked with Chris about in the past. That is a big thing when it comes to this Hawks team. Can they stay healthy? Because even with them experiencing slight injuries at the moment, it's at least see where, okay, you don't have a Bogey Bogdanovich, but you can make it work. But, you know, we've known this for a couple of years that this Hawks team is one that if everybody stays healthy, they can go on, you know, some pretty impressive runs. But when injuries hit them, they really seem to struggle. And the other part of that is obviously their offense. Can they knock down shots on a consistent basis? It's kind of wild that we've reached this point where when we talk about the Hawks, we're talking about, hey, can their offense catch up to their defense? I mean, I don't know that I thought I would find myself in a position to talk about them in this way a year ago, even, quite honestly, where you're playing it doesn't matter how bad Minnesota has been this year. They haven't won nearly as many games as you might expect, but they are top five defensive rating in the NBA. And the Hawks really, I mean, for three, you know, maybe two and a half quarters, were the stronger defensive team. And it's really nice to see. And it is a point in which, because we've seen Trae Young, because we've seen this offense come on strong in the past and defense has been what's let them down, it makes you feel really good about what you're seeing right now that it can continue, it can sustain, because it's just a matter of, all right, they got to knock down, you know, more of their shots. And they did so in the first and the fourth quarter last night. And that's what carried them to this win.
Along those same veins, Caleb, Dyson Daniels continues to do it. Yeah. He's scoring and he's playing elite defense. Let's ask the same question. Can he keep it up?
Yeah, he can. And it's funny too, because we were talking to him in the locker room last night, and he was like, I'm out there, I'm just hacking. And he said, you know, sometimes it's going to turn into a night where I've got five fouls. But he was like, more often than not, it turns into a night where I've got, you know, five or more steals. And him having another career steal night is so impressive. He's got numbers right now. I forget, because I would give him credit. I saw it on Twitter last night that there's a national NBA reporter who was saying Dyson Daniels is on track to have better steals and block numbers than anyone we've seen since the 80s. And then I think he's in a stat category right now on pace with, like, it is just him and Scottie Pippen who are in the same field when it comes to steals and blocks, is at least percentage-wise in a game. It's just, it's been an incredible run, one that I know I've seen a lot of Pelicans fans who like to pop up periodically and be like, well, you know, we've had a lot of strong defenders come through New Orleans and they all end up fizzling out. And it's like, no, I don't think so. This guy is in year three of his NBA career. This isn't something that caught on year one or caught on later on that might be a flash in the pan kind of thing. He has really strong defensive principles. And I think a big part of what's allowed Dyson to be as, you know, just as handsy with the ball and kind of go after it is that for the most part, he's playing with a defense where guys are staying in their roles. I think that's why you've seen Clint Capella have such an improvement on the defensive end of the floor back to some of the numbers that we've known him to have in the past. It's because, you know, Clint, he had said it last year, year before, of, hey, I am one guy, and if I'm having to cover for what two other guys on this defense messed up and let a guy get free, then, you know, then I can end up embarrassed and I'm not getting the block that I should, or I'm not getting the rebound because I'm not getting the help. It feels like you've actually got five guys on the defensive end of the floor who are doing their jobs, and it is helping when you've got standout guys, you know, like Dyson Daniels.
We're talking about our Hawks guys with Caleb Johnson, Hawks reporter for 92.9 The Game. Hawks back in action on Thursday, literally the 26th, against the Bulls, and they'll play on Saturday against Miami, early afternoon game, as the pregame here starts at 2:30 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The bench has been a big part of this, right? I mean, last night, Gary Bird, as I like to say, Gary Matthews,
yeah.
25 points off the bench, but D. Hunter has been leading the way all year long, and Caleb, I think he's the sixth man of the year right now. I know it's way early. We're not even to the spring. But, like, who's playing better off the bench than D. Hunter right now?
There's a couple of different guys you could probably put in that category. But I think DeAndre is definitely one who has carved out his name in that role. And I know, look, I've talked with Chris in the past about, I think some Hawks fans might be frustrated with the fact of, well, why doesn't DeAndre start? And why aren't we getting him, you know, in that role? And it's like, look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, this has been working. I've talked to DeAndre a couple of different times about his role and what's working for him. And he says he likes the fact that he can read the game as it's beginning. And then once he enters, you know, 5-6 minutes into the game, he can step up on the scene and really show out. And so I think it's an area that's really excelled for him. It's also helped because when you're able to start Zachary Risacher, who doesn't need the ball in his hands and who doesn't have to score a bunch of points, and he's just been really strong defensively, then you have DeAndre Hunter who can step in. And a lot of times when Trey's not on the floor, he can be that offensive piece who really drives things and carries things even further. And can hopefully be a piece that when Trey's not there, this team doesn't fall apart. Because I know last night a big thing was turnovers for this team when Trey's not on the floor. It's kind of been an issue so far this season. But, you know, what DeAndre is showing is he's going to be in that conversation with a Peyton Pritchard, with Aldama that we just saw with the Grizzlies,
yep,
a couple nights ago.
Sure.
Like those are going to be the guys. And as long as the Hawks are winning, then I think he's got a legitimate shot because, of course, you know, voters, much like when it comes to All-Stars, they're going to put those things in the conversation. They want this to be a good basketball team. And right now they're playing playoff basketball.
Caleb, I know this is something you and I have dished out before, but anytime I see any trade rumors associated with the Hawks, it's always one guy alone, and that is Clint Capella. I think he's playing pretty well this season. I think I might have even underestimated how much he has left in the tank, especially with the new way that they're playing offense this year. Do you foresee Clint Capella being with the Hawks throughout the season?
I do. As of right now, guys, December 24th, I think that the Hawks are primed to not make a move at the trade deadline, quite honestly. And I think, you know, they've got a couple of expiring contracts, and that's really where this thing could go. Obviously, you know, Clint, but then right behind him, Larry Nance Jr., and then are they ever going to move on from, you know, oh, I'm forgetting his name right now because we haven't seen him all season. Their other center. But
Cody Zeller.
Yeah, we go. the man's not even stepped foot in the building, and at least he can be traded now because we're past that December 15th deadline that they had where they couldn't move him. But I think Clint stays, and I think if anybody moves, it's going to be Larry Nance Jr. because he's on that expiring deal and because it feels like he's too good to just be a third center who plays because Onyeka Okongwu is hurt. And that's really about it. Clint's been so good, and I know people get frustrated, and last night was another example of offensively you want to pull your hair out because you're like, just make the easy ones. Just make the easy bunnies that are right there, right by the basket, and they seem to pop out a lot of the times. However, when you look at the defensive numbers, specifically for the Hawks, like the Hawks are a much better defensive team when Clint Capella is on the floor. And, you know, things flip in a different way, which I think kind of tells a bit of a story about Onyeka Okongwu, who I just don't think has been playing his best basketball the last couple of years. And he is someone who, if you wanted to get into the juicy, you know, rumors of trade speculation, he certainly could be a name that you throw in there. But I think Clint stays. And I think if they're going to move someone, it would be one of those backup centers, although it just would not surprise me at all if the Hawks stand pat, because Nance has been a glue guy for this team, and Onyeka, I think a lot of the times is seen as something for the future that they've invested a lot of resources in.
Yeah, and there are times he's shown flashes where he can defend, you know, bigs, whether it be Giannis or Embiid, etc. I do agree with you. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they try to improve this team. Listen, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Trey and how he's playing. He's an all-star. He's an all-star, okay? And he's doing it this year differently. He is not trying to give you 40 a game and outscore everybody. He's just playing. And it's made him look, I think, better to the eyes of people on the outside to say, man, what's going on with Trae Young? Nothing. He's always been this. But I do think he's going to be an all-star this year. Do you?
I do. And I was having this very conversation with a few media members last night where I was saying, you know, I get worried when it comes to Trey because narratives stick with you. You know, you can't unring a bell. And that what got attached with Trey was the selfishness, the stat padding, the all of the blah, 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 blah sort of stuff. He's not a leader. Well, literally all of those things have been thrown out the door. This man has been the biggest leader on this Hawks team this year that I've seen, vocal and just doing the behind-the-scenes things that a lot of people don't notice. And some of us media, when we bring it up to him, I feel like he's kind of like, you don't have to talk about, you know, the little things that I'm doing. He just wants to go out and play his game. And I think because he's not scoring a ton, but he is, high assist rate, and that's what got Tyrese Halliburton in the All-Star game last year, I think he is definitely a lock to make it in. I just get worried that some of the newer players that have had their flashy moments and don't have all the negativity attached to them, like a Tyrese Maxey, who's playing on a losing basketball team right now, I just worry that guys like that or Devin White, who's playing on a Celtics team, who is playing really good, but his numbers aren't just that crazy. I get worried that, you know, they want to put guys like those in over Trey, but I'm hoping – voting and everything kind of takes care of itself and Trey gets in because he absolutely deserves it. He's been the best player on this team by far. They do not play well without him. It's actually something that Landry Fields is going to have to address, I think, or see if, other guys can step up. But he's an all-star for sure.
Yeah, you need a quality backup. I do agree with that. Great stuff, Caleb. Merry Christmas, man. Appreciate you. You and your lovely wife, man. Enjoy, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Yeah, thanks, man. Merry Christmas to you guys, too.
All right, that's Caleb Williams, guys. He covers the Hawks.
That's Caleb Johnson.
Oh, Caleb Williams is quarterback.
Could you imagine if Caleb Williams retired from football to cover the Hawks us?
He could. Caleb Johnson, who covers the Hawks. All right, we're coming back. Why is Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders playing in a meaningless bowl game? I'm going to tell you why when we come back as part of Guy Talk next.
Long.
Yeah, boy! As we like to say in Guy Talk, hope you're having a great day. Tomorrow is Christmas. Wishing you and yours a very, very Merry Christmas. Coming up 5 o'clock in less than 15 minutes, we're going to talk about the Falcons and what's in front of them. I just saw an interesting article, by the way, Chris, about, you know, the whole Cousins thing. Everybody wants to jump the gun. And everybody thinks he's gone. Not yet. relax. There's a lot of stuff that can happen between now and March. And it has nothing to do with Pennix. I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of options and things that are going to play out. But we'll get into that, and we'll talk more about the Falcons as we start to get ready for the Commanders.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
What's up?
A scorching take on this.
Okay.
That I will bring to you in 15 minutes.
All right, perfect. All right, stay right there. Today was a good day at the crib. Got my wife a new car today.
Oh!
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And Merry Christmas. I got to tell you something. The vibe changed. It was this morning. I was like, I need you to get up. What's going on? I just need you to come downstairs. What's the matter? Can you come down and just, okay, I will in a minute. And then she got down there, right? And it's in the garage and it's waiting. And she was like, what is the deal? And I turned her around and I opened the door and she was like, and let me tell you something, fellas, that vibe completely changed. Oh my God. It was good. You did. Yes, it's yours. And the whole vibe just, it was like, oh my, and I was like, yeah, I know, it's nice, I get it. I just want to tell you guys, whatever you're doing, and I was not sure if I wanted to do this or not, I was skeptical, but I got to give some love to the guys up there in Kennesaw who helped me out, and Leo and all you guys up there, you know who you are. I was skeptical, but I did it because they, and this gets back to the story, and this is what I'm getting to, just great customer service, man. I mean, like, nothing beats great customer service. And so no matter what you're shopping for or whatever you're doing this holidays, or I'm just telling you, like, there are times, my, Turtle, where I have bought things just based on the way that people have treated me.
Huh.
Has nothing to do with the product, has nothing to do with the price, has nothing to do with any of it. It's just a matter of the interaction and how people treat you. So I will say that. But, yeah, man, completely different vibe at the crib. I'm expecting a great dinner.
Wait a minute now.
What?
Is that why you're drinking a Gatorade?
What do you mean?
You hydrating? You fueling up? Carl's got a Gatorade
in
the studio
That's where you're going?
Carl's getting his fuel on.
No,
getting
bro.
Getting those electrolytes in.
First of all, as hot as Hades is in here, is it not warm in here? I'm always complaining about usually the air conditioning being broke. It's hot as hell in here.
Carl, so you're wearing a jacket.
Yes, but I have like this isn't even a t-shirt. This is a tee. And I turn the fan on. This fan doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
All right, well, this Lasco, whatever it is, they need to get that out the studio.
Both of them don't work.
And so I'm just like, I'm warm. It has nothing to do with that. So I got a Gatorade.
So Carl
don't
got
go
a
there.
Gatorade.
Don't go there.
And he's now getting the electrolytes in.
Don't go there. But I'm just telling you, it's a different vibe at the crib. All right, that's number one.
You know,
we
got a couple of Red Bulls in the fridge, too.
I don't need any Red Bulls. I'm getting up for Santa in the morning. I don't know what you're talking about. And then the second thing is, and I see guys right now, what'd you get her? None of your business. I can hear guys right now. Look at these texts coming in. What did you get her? Mercedes? None of your business. Anyways.
Doesn't matter if he got her a Suzuki off-roader.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's the thought behind it.
She's got a new whip.
Exactly right. It's clean, though. I got to tell you, it's clean. And then the other thing, I mentioned this. I wanted to mention this yesterday.
You going to let Frankie in there?
Will what?
In the new car. You going to let Frankie in there?
My guess is Frankie.
Is he going to get a cute little seat?
He has one already. Frankie owns everything right now. That is until, and thank you for the lead-in. Until his brother gets there. So I think we've told you this. You know, when Mikey, my other dog, passed away last year, we were really in between whether we were going to get another dog. We were going to wait. And you guys know if you've been through that situation. And we went ahead and dove in, and we got Frankie, and he's great. And he's been terrific. And Frankie's like 7 months now. So we had been debating, does he need a playmate? And I got to tell you, we are getting one. He's not coming until, I think, in January sometime.
Well, they got to train him, right?
No, well, he's still he's a baby. Yeah. He's weeks old. But by the time we get him, I think he'll be 10 or 12 or something like that. But his name's Louie. I've already posted a picture if you want to go check it out on social media. It's the cutest thing. But Frankie is so rambunctious. It's like, this dude needs a playmate. Like, he's just incredible. So we're going to dive in. And, Turtle, I know you were dog watching for a while there and doing that a while back. And you know how, you saw all those different animals and how you interacted with them. But I think it's going to be good. And I only bring this up to say, like, that debate on whether you get another one or not, it's like kids. It is literally like, are we going to have another one? I don't want another one. We need another one. They can't be alone. I kept hearing that. They can't be alone. It's like, well, he kind of can be. So I'm really interested in how they're going to interact. But I'm excited about getting Louie, and he's a cutie, man. He's a cutie. So they're both Bostons, and hopefully this works out. Now, if it works out, Turtle, then that means...
No, none of this if.
Dude, you
don't know if.
You don't know. I mean,
I don't want to hear if.
Louie could come in here and be a pimp. I don't know. Like, Louie could be like, I'm claiming this toy, and this one. All that over there is yours. You don't know how they're going to play together.
They'll be fine.
I hope so.
They'll be fine.
You don't know.
Frankie's the dominant. Well, he's established.
Right now he is.
He's been home.
Louie can walk in there like Debo. I want your chain and your food.
No, he's going to walk in like Dion saying, I'm bringing luggage and it's Louie. And that's me. And I'm stepping in your trap right now and
taking over your trap. We will see. But so I was going to mention this yesterday. But we made the decision, man. And Sarah, who we're getting him from, and she's breeded Frankie as well. She has the moms. She's unbelievable. She's here in Georgia. And I just got to tell you, the folks who breed these puppies, like, they are like, to see that process and what they go through. So, Sarah, big shout out to you. You know, I don't want to give any information away, but you know who you are, and thank you for everything. But Louie's coming, man, so stay tuned for those picks. All right, I got to tell you this before we get out of here. Deion Sanders and his two stars, as a matter of fact, all of his stars at Colorado are going to play in their bowl game. A lot of people are saying this is dumb. Shedeur Sanders could be the first overall pick. Travis Hunter could be the second pick in the draft. Who knows? The school took out disability insurance. Not Deion, the school. And he went to his AD, Rick George, and Rick George said, absolutely. So you're going to see all the stars in this game for Colorado play. And I got to tell you something. We've been saying, guys don't want to play in bowl games and all this. And Deion said, look, we got a multitude of players that could be drafted. We want to make sure if anything happens, we're covered. You want guys to play who are not in the playoff? Schools start ponying up the money to get these kids disability insurance in case something happens. They don't walk away with nothing. These insurance policies, by the way, could pay them upwards of $15, $20 million if something is to happen in the bowl game. I think this is the way that schools are going to have to go.
It'll be the most interesting series of the game, Carl.
Both are going to play. I think they're playing the Alamo Bowl, as a matter of fact. Either way, I was a little bit surprised, but now I get it. And it allows them to play with some ease and not have to worry. Hey, we're not going to walk away and not get anything.
Those right. seven snaps are going to be magical, man.
You think that's all they're playing?
I'm telling you right now. They're going to play in air quotes. Oh, you betcha.
Well, if it's a blowout, that's something else. Hey, coming up, Falcon Report's on the way. What did Michael Penix do right? We got to tell you what you should be excited about moving forward. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.